Not act like it don't exist. domestic violence, we said, does exist in the church. Mm-hmm. And it is both male and female.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to bring some of you who may not have been here last Sunday back up to speed so you won't be lost as we get into this pericope of text. But the first thing you need to know is that it exists not only in church, it exists in families.
Yeah.
We talked about a church member that doesn't look like an abuser because they bring their Bibles to church, they go to church, they teach it on the Sunday school, they sing in the choir. Come on, somebody. And they got a church in here. They don't look like an abuser, but when that people get behind closed doors. From the perspective of the victim, man. We're still looking at it from the perspective of the victim. And what I love about the Bible is that it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It tells it like it is. Yeah. There was abusive relationships in the Bible.
Yeah.
All you have to do is read it. Yeah. That's going to lose somebody. That's why somebody don't know this. Everything we need and have been exposed to and are going through is found in the pages of Scripture.
Yeah.
Even situations of domestic violence. So it is with the pericope of text that was chosen and read in your hearing, Minister Carla Jones. Thank you so much for reading that with such eloquence.
Amen.
I love that. I love how you pronounce that word there in verse 14, you did an excellent job.
Amen.
I want you to, I'm saying all this because when we read Scripture aloud, it needs to be read with feeling. Because that's God talking. It needs to be read with emotion. It needs to be read with the anointing. Come on, somebody. As you stand on your feet, we will read the verse of focus again as a family. If you have the King James rendering from the book of Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible, y'all. A few people that spoke. The book of Genesis, chapter 16. The verse of focus is verse number 9. If you have the King James rendering, 1, 2, 3, read. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. I want you to pray with me on a topic, what must the church do about domestic violence? What must the church do about domestic violence? Our subtopic is follow Jesus.
Amen.
We must follow the example of Jesus. Pray with me, eternal God, our Father's preaching time. We stand before this text, Father, undone, unable. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, we are overcomers.
Yes.
And through the power that dwells on the inside of me, now take full control of this body. Even these lips of clay, take full control of even my voice, Father. Just get into me. Make me what I'm not, and that's a preacher. Father, and I ask that this word go forth and let it find a resting place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Father, that we might leave differently than when we came. We already sense your presence here. Now, God, further express yourself through this preached word that we might leave differently than when we came is our prayer, Father, that what happens here today in faith would last longer than what happens here today in faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your seats. The Bible declares that greater love have no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. In this text, to catch you back up, this is the text of three individuals. We all know Abram. That was his name before it became Abraham. We all remember Sarah. That was her name before she became Sarah. God changed their names. But what you also must know is that God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Through the text, we know that they had dwelt in that land at least, the Bible says, 10 years. But during that 10-year span, the promise had already been made, but there was no child. God is the one who makes the womb fruitful. Have I got a witness?
Amen.
When the womb isn't fruitful, for whatever reason, God is the determinant factor to whether or not we can have children. I said we, whether or not a woman can have a child, depends totally on God. Isn't it funny that those who can't have, usually the ones that will make good parents, but the ones that do, y'all ain't gonna be there. What you must see, 10 years they have tried to have a child, and they could not. Now, in this particular Northeastern society of this text, it was very demeaning and very shameful if a woman could not bear a son. Not only bear a child, but the child had to be a son, because what you must know is there was no Social Security. And when you got old, the only one that could take care of you was a son. Women were not looked upon with too much collateral. Matter of fact, they were looked upon as a little bit above a slave. There might be some of the problems that society had then. They don't look at women like they always look at women. Women, y'all ought to say it again. And they had been trying for 10 years, the Bible says, and had no child. Now, when two people are married and they're trying to have children and they can't have children, the first thing that we who overlook say is, whose fault is it? Have I got a witness?
Amen.
It is either the problem of the woman or the problem of the man while there's no child. And in that society, that was looked upon with a very familiar frown. So, Sarah said that it's getting too late, it's been too long. We've been waiting on God now for 10 years. Somebody in here has been waiting on God for 10 years for a thing. And it ain't happened yet. Can I just say right here, you better just keep right on waiting. Sarah gets impatient, Lord have mercy, and goes to her husband Abram. They say, take God too long. And she comes up with a bright idea because they had this slave named Hagar, both in Egypt. And she says, perhaps, listen to this reasoning. Sarah says to Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It might be that I can obtain a child through her. What kind of reasoning is that? Well, you must understand that culture. In that culture, that could be done. That was called a surrogate relationship. Where even though it's not my child, if I have the body for it and I can carry a child, I will have a child for you. That's what she was saying. Oh, y'all with me.
Amen, Pastor.
Now, right there, it ought to be a problem. It really ought to be a problem because if I can't have children, maybe God don't want me to have them.
That's true. Amen.
But notice how she goes to her husband and says, I tell you what, maybe God's going to let me have children through her. Now that was perfectly acceptable in that society. Your concubine could have your child and the child still would be not only looked upon as yours, but it would be.
Yes.
That's weird. So she goes to her husband, and she says to her husband, go and sleep with him. Go, Lord, have mercy. Do you not see the abuse? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
This is
my husband, the man that I love, more than mercy. And I'm telling him to sleep with another woman. Something wrong with that picture.
Amen.
Unless you hate it. Don't be with me.
Amen.
What man? What man, your wife will come and tell you, you can sleep with my friend.
No.
And it's all right. How many men are going to say no, honey, that's all right?
No,
nowhere in the text did Abraham refuse. Don't tell them that you're my wife. abuse.
Yeah.
This is my husband, the one I love, now is trying to make me take part in a lie. Let me tell you something. Anytime you are coerced and pressured into doing, saying that which you don't want to do or say, that's abuse. No longer now can she be truthful. She had to lie. And notice what he said. Go read the chapter for yourself. See, Abraham said, if you love me, you'll do this for me. What am I saying? I'm saying anytime a man or a woman puts a condition on your love, that ain't love. Love is unconditional. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to preach a sermon one day about quid pro quo. Y'all don't even know what's going on. That's a big thing in the news now. Because that, you know, quid pro quo say, I'll do this for you because you do that for me.
That's right.
This guy said, that ain't love. That ain't got nothing to do with love. What that means is you do that for me if I don't do nothing for you. Because love is unconditional. Notice how cycles were established. Y'all do know what a cycle is, don't you? Abusiveness is cyclic. Normally, a perpetrator of abuse was abused in their childhood.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Normally, not always, but normally, if you see a perpetrator of abuse somewhere down the line, they were abused. We can only do that which we have seen. And as I see violence in my house, violence becomes the new normal. Y'all ain't gonna say it. If I see him or her beating up on each other, I think that's normal. So now I gravitate toward the thug. I talked to the woman there. You don't want nobody that's clean cut. And a God-fearing man. No, you want a thug. Somebody that's going to talk to you like a dog. Why? Because that's all you've seen in your life. You think if they talk to me like that, that means they're thug. No, they don't say it. I'm just going to get quiet. But we gravitate toward that which we have seen because that's all we know. So what happens a lot of times, some of us get in good relationships and we, Lord have mercy, sabotage it because it is good. Who am I talking to? You have come to believe that you don't deserve a good man. So you gravitate toward those who are abusive. The cycle has been established. She was abused by a the same abuse that she was made to do. Now she is the perpetrator of another human being. Mm-hmm. Concubine of marriage called Hagar has no voice in the matter. And she has to go. Doesn't say anything how she felt about it. You know she didn't want to do that.
Amen.
But she did it anyway because she had no voice. She had no power. Abuse has to do a lot with power control. The Bible says that she hid the seed, and now Sarai is abusive to this pregnant Hagar. Reading between the lines, you can see now that she goes to Sarai, goes to Abraham, and says, now, let's read. Take my word for it. And Sarah said to Abraham in verse 5, my wrong be upon thee. In other words, this is your fault. Check this out. This is a suggestion that she made. But then she's blaming him. This is your, she said, it's upon me. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. That's a lie. The Lord judged between me and thee. Now this is a picture of when there's abuse in the church. Oh, come on, somebody. And the victim comes to the deacon or the pastor. Can I break it down to you? And they explain the situation to somebody they think they can get some help from. I wish I had a church. man of God. But Abram, anytime you see that, you know there ain't going to be good advice coming on. But Abram said to Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. He said, what I got to do with that? He says, do to her what pleases thee. Can I say right here to the deacons, to the leaders, the trustees, if you don't even have a title, you still lead somebody. Can I say right here, you need to be very careful how you give out advice.
Amen.
I give a whole lot of counseling, but my advice is 0%. I don't give out advice. I will direct you to what the Word of God says, but you're going to make the decision. Why? Because decisions carry responsibility. Oh, girl, I will kick him to the curb. Well, when you kick him to the curb, you're going to be the one out on the street. Y'all ain't going to say amen. You will. I will just kick. Well, when you kick him to the curb, you're going to be the one that's lonely. That's a hard question. Advice carries responsibility. And can I say this to the deacons? Can I say this to the church leaders? Do not give out advice. One of the reasons we ought to give out advice is because we don't have a license to do so.
Amen.
And check this out. Even if I had a license to give out advice, I had a license and a doctorate in psychology, I still wouldn't. Because just because I got a title, advice carries responsibility. I'm not going to tell you what to do when you got to do it. So what am I saying? Someone brings you a matter about a thing, shut up. I'm part of the thinking.
Okay.
I know that again, but I've got one, two. Shut up. Stop giving out advice. Because advice carries responsibility. Can I say this right here? And when they tell you a problem, if you don't do anything, just be a listening ear.
Amen.
A lot of times, we say stuff, what has happened in the church, and it does more harm than it does good. Abram gave out bad advice. What does that mean? You do as you see fit. So glad the Bible didn't hide that. That's terrible advice. You're telling a woman who's already jealous, who's already envious, who already feels threatened by another woman, do to her as you see fit. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
When it should have stood up and been a man and been on the side of right. I'm not on your side, I'm on the right side. That's not like the person, that's not like the chapter in the Bible. When two tribes were getting ready to war, and this angel in white showed up, and the person asked him, are you here to take sides? He said, I'm not here to take sides, I'm here to take over.
Right,
that's what you need to do as a man. Take over the situation.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The Word of God will always cut you. That's why it's so quiet in here. You've got a lot of bleeding for it. But it won't leave you bleeding. In other words, it will cut you, expose you wrong, but it will always come and tell you how to get right. And what we have the following in the church is, we have too many leaders that will cut you and just leave you there bleeding. And then they come to the pastor, by the end, you done bled out. Expecting me to fix it. What am I saying? When you first see the signs of trouble, then you go for help. Don't come out for counseling when you're on the way to the court to get a divorce.
Too late then.
Can I say that again? Don't come for counseling when you're on your way to get a divorce. You know, that made your mind up. But now you're just going to go through the motions of what you should have did to start with. Abraham gives bad advice. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord found her. Who is her? Hagar. Hagar leaves pregnant. Oh, that's a picture of a single mom that's impregnated by no good boy.
man.
I said rain. I said fall.
Away.
Whenever you impregnate a woman and you run off and don't stay there to be a father, you are a boy.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Y'all ain't gonna say it.
Amen.
You ain't got a boy. A man stays there and raises the child.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Just because you get pregnant don't mean you need to get married either.
Amen.
Well, it's gonna bring a child into some real confusion. You got one that just got married because the person got pregnant. Don't you know resentment after a while is gonna take hold?
Amen.
Because you're pregnant don't mean that we gotta get married. We both can be parents.
That's right.
Not be the best of parents in an ideal situation, but we still can be parents.
Amen.
Lord, amen. The Bible says the angel of the Lord found Hagar, impregnated Hagar. This is nothing but a picture of a single mom out by themselves. And it happens in the church.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen, Pastor.
I'm going to tell you, when our children do what they want to do and they hurt us, will the mate say, that's still my child? Somebody ought to give God a hand. That's still my child. Don't you know God did the same thing for us when we were yet sinners?
Amen.
God said that he died for us. Isn't it funny? Now that I got so saved, sanctified, go to church every Sunday, I forgot where I came from.
Preach, Pastor.
We got church folks. If the truth we know might not be any virgins in the church.
Amen.
Y'all don't know what I mean. I'm talking about if we go back to the time, you know, you're supposed to get married before you have sex. If we really do a head count, I wonder how many true virgins we would have had in the church. Oh, yeah, you're going to get quiet right there. But still, now, the person who got pregnant, now you sit in condemnation looking down your nose at them. Which means, by the grace of God, if that had not, Lord have mercy, and by God's grace, that would have been you.
That's right. Amen.
Time out for the church acting so sanctified holy.
Yeah.
That you're no use for the church nor God.
Amen.
See, it's this kind of picture you get, man. You're going to get the truth. That's why I think that's why we're going to stay small. Because this is going to make some folks mad. First of all, ugliness happens in the church. And the church for so long and too long has tried because
of it.
What the church do is address it.
Oh.
First and foremost, bring it out in the front and say that it's happened in the church. And once you address it, let's look at what kind of advice does the angel give? Our first and foremost, we can see that advice. And an angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. What you need to know is she was going back to Egypt. When you get in trouble, you go back to what you know. Y'all let me say amen.
Amen.
I said when you get in trouble, you go back to what you know. Or you go back to who you really are when you get in trouble.
Amen.
Y'all have to say amen. That's why when people die, they can act so nice and prime and proper, but when people die, their ugly come out because their ugly was there the whole while.
The
Bible says out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So if it came out, that means that it was on the inside. I'm preaching anyway. The Bible says that he found her. What I love about this is that this seemingly no good pregnant slave, God has his eye on
you. Yeah.
Somebody say, God has his eye on
you.
She was shunned by the only family that she knew. Abram and Sarah had kicked her out of the house. I'm talking down to the pregnant child. You know, some church folk, when the girl gets pregnant, you got to leave. What kind of sense is that?
None whatsoever.
If they ever need help, they need one.
Amen.
Is anybody going to clap on
right. That's right.
If they come and stay in your house, stop making them feel guilty about what they did.
Amen.
They feel bad enough as it is. And come back, you got to look at your frown every day.
Every day.
You pray.
Lord, have mercy. Isn't it good to be in the Lord?
But the Bible says that the angel found her. I don't care what situation you're in, God will find you where you are.
Yeah.
And he just didn't find her. The angel began to talk to her. The Bible says that the angel said in verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. And this is after she told her. Let me go back up a verse. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. Shur is going back to Egypt. She was going back to her home. She was an Egyptian. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, that lets us know that God knows who we are. He knows where we are. Whence camest thou? He didn't ask that because he didn't know. Sometimes we need to articulate verbally where we came from.
Amen.
You don't know how important it is to say, I was a prostitute. And it's not about you saying, it's about you hearing yourself say. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm talking to the one now. You were molested growing up, but instead of articulating it to the world, you would hide it. Just because you hide it doesn't care the fact that it happened. God takes the through stuff so that we can be a better minister.
Yeah.
If you were molested, you need to tell somebody. Honey, that happened to me. And if I can make it, you can make it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Any way and anyhow.
Yeah.
The Bible says that she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. She said, I left my mistress Sarah. Now let's look at the advice that the angel gives. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Why, oh why, would God say go back? Go back to that abusive situation. You know, that's been the advice of church leaders for so long. A woman is abused. And she wants to get out of that abusive situation. She comes to the church. She has the church leaders for advice, and they say, go back. That's her husband. What foolishness is that? A lot of them use this scripture to substantiate it. How do we know that Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly?
Amen.
And if he came, that means he does not want me or him to be in an abusive situation.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you to go back. Not to that house. You get beat. Sometimes, you know, he's not letting him hit him. He can just beat you down
verbally.
Or you're ugly. You're fat. Nobody don't want you. Don't let me tell you
that.
I might be preaching about you. He goes on in verse 7 and says, and he will, look at verse 11. And the angel said to the Lord, said to her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy prayer. Somebody say, keep on praying.
Keep on praying.
Evidently, she was a praying woman. God can't hear what you're going through unless you tell him. Sometimes you have not. Because she has not. And then when you do ask, you ask the mix. She was a praying woman, and the word says that God had heard her affliction. And notice what it says. And he will be a wild child. Let me see. No. I'm sorry. Verse 11. And then the Lord said, behold, thou art a with child. He said, you're pregnant. And you shall bear a son. Not just a child, but you're going to bear a son. And his name shall be called Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard their affliction. And he will be a wild man. I don't know what would have that child.
He will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. That loses so much in the translation. In another translation, it even says that he will be wild as an ass or a donkey. And that sounds like, that's bad news. I'm going to have a child. And the angel told me that he's going to be wild. And no man is going to get along with him. But you got to go deeper. Somebody say, go deeper. What you must understand is that this is a prediction of the child, but it is not a depiction of his demeanor. It is a depiction of his situation. Remember, this is a slave. And when a slave had a child, the child was going to be a slave. But not this child. Why? Because the Bible says he's going to be wild. How many know wild things can't be kings? This is a depiction that says you don't have this child because this child is going to break the cycle of slavery and he's going to be free. It says that he's going to be free. No longer will he be a slave just because you are a slave. Listen, I said, you got to be like your mama.
You got to be like your mama.
And you ain't got to be like your dad.
You ain't got to be like your dad.
Somebody ought to clap. If you can't clap like your mama, your dad right here. Let me just say this right here. Mamas and daddies are imperfect people. Now when my dad was living, he could do no wrong. Because I looked through filter lenses. But after he died, I really saw that figure for who he was. Now he was a good man. Yeah, he was a provider amongst providers. He was a man amongst men. Had no fear. Grew up in the day of slavery. I said it before. A cross. They tried to burn a cross in my daddy's yard. They started, but they didn't finish. Why? Because he sprayed them with bullets about so long, I got 15 of them. We went out there, we saw the cross, the long one, and the short one, but they didn't get a chance to put it together. I can imagine looking at the boys and say, this ain't working, y'all. Let's go. And because he wasn't scared, I wasn't scared.
That's right.
But he also had some flaws. He was arrogant. Empire. And that's what I'm doing. Arrogant empire. For God to work on you. So Satan is not going to be a slave. And the Bible says, and she called the name of the Lord and spake to her, thou God seeth me. That was that name. She did a memorial right there at will and said, God is the God that sees me. Look, somebody say, God sees you.
God sees you.
I not only sees you, he sees what you're dealing with. I'm talking to now the one who's in the relationship. You're looking at it. But the truth be known, you just got a room with
it.
Amen. Y'all ain't
going to
see
it. Amen.
He's got a room with it. Because you live in an abusive situation. What does the church say about it? The church acknowledges that it happens. What does the church do about it? If the church finds out about it, the church will get you out of that situation and get you some help.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
What does the church do about it? If the church finds that the leader is the perpetrator of abuse, he will sit it down.
Amen.
How did you hear me?
Amen.
You will sit down. There will be no way you can lead doing wrong. All that is fine. Amen.
Amen.
And if it's not corrected, we will sit you down. And for the one who's being abused, we do have places and people who you can call, who you can talk to. We said in this vicinity called Franklin County, it is safe. There's a place called Safe Space. But how many know that if one thing ought to be safe, it ought to be the church.
Amen.
A place where you can go and you can get some help. And you can get some support. Give God a big clap of praise. Abuse does happen. Anytime that you are coerced, pressured into doing that which you don't want to do. That's abuse. Anytime that you are degraded, demeaned, your self-worth is challenged. That's abuse. Does it matter where the abuse comes from? Just remember, even if you have a man of God, somebody say, a man of God.
A man of God.
The most flawed thing about that statement is the word man. Is it here?
Amen.
He might be a man of God, but he's still a man. I try to teach you that there, I don't care what kind of man you are, where you come from, what you do, you can preach till you're blue in the face, you're still a man. And if you are a man, you have the propensity of dogism in you. And the only thing that keeps it from coming out is that we are held by the leash of the word. So what am I saying? I'm talking to the one man. Are you looking for? You better stop looking for a man of God. I'm talking to the woman man. You looking for somebody to spend your life with? You better look at their family history. Now we'll get quiet. I tell my daughter, whether she listens or not, I don't care what that book says he is. Is his daddy in his life? I didn't say, does it have a daddy? No. Just by you being, it means that you were fathered by some. Does he have a father in his life? Because if he hasn't seen a father, he don't know how to be a father.
That's right. Yeah.
And I say that with a caveat, because we understand that there's single households who are being reared by women. I'm not putting them down. I'm not degrading them. All I'm saying is we can show a man how to be a man when he see a man. I'm going to say it again. We can show a man how to be a man when he sees a man. That's why mentoring is so important. Same way it is with a woman. A mother does not know how to be a mother unless she's seen a mother.
Amen.
That's why some people can never be a mother because they've never seen one. Stop trying to make a withdrawal out of places that have been no closets.
That's
right. Amen. Lord have mercy. So I say it again. Look at that family tree. Is the father in their life? And when you take him out, how does he treat other women?
Amen.
How does he talk to his sister? How does he talk to his mother? How do they handle even something as simple as talking to a waitress or waiter?
Because
God will send you some signs.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
God will send you some warning signs. Amen. And when you, let me say this. Stop being so lonely that you will settle for a piece of man.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
I heard that in my spirit.
Amen, Pastor.
What is a piece of man? A piece of man. I'm not helping you go from a different angle. Before I can tell you what a man
ain't,
let me tell you what a man
needs.
A real man got a job.
Yeah. Right now.
And he works day in and day out.
Oh, yeah.
A real man has staying power. That means he ain't jumping job. That means he doesn't know how to finish. A man, if he is in his 20s and not going to college, has his own place.
All right. Great.
A real man got his own ride. It ain't got to be new, but it can't be broke down. I heard about a real man. A real man holds the door before.
All right now.
way.
Yeah.
A real man might. I ain't gonna call that a mistake. When you have a child out of wedlock, that's not a mistake, that's a choice. A real man not only will father a child, but will stick around to be a daddy. And I'm not just talking about with money. Money is just part of it. This is just part of it. And if he ain't there no money, he don't matter. I was calling, you got fired right there. If he ain't paying no money, if he don't matter, if he ain't got a job, that's not your problem, nor a child's problem.
That's right, pal.
Somebody, you want to be in his life? What have you done for him lately? All right. But then I get to the woman. You the one who getting up with that child at night. You the one going to the doctor. You the one changing all those doctors. You the one. I'm going to give that nigga the time of day. He brought all of our cases. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say right here, a mixed marriage ain't a black or white person. There's a Muslim and a Christian. That's a mixed marriage. So it doesn't matter what color you are. There's one race and it's human. But if you follow the child, you stick around and be the child's dad.
Yeah.
Abuse will never stop happening until we change the heart. Let me just say right here, we always talk about gun control. Guns don't kill.
That's right. People kill.
People kill.
Listen
here.
Amen.
Everybody want to get rid of all the guns. I'm trying to say that. When you take the guns out of my hand, you put them in the hand of the crook. And now I can't defend myself.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to say it again. When you take the guns out of my hand, you put them in the hand of the crook. Don't take my gun. Because I ain't going to kill nothing that don't need killing.
Me and you, pal.
It's not a preacher. You better believe it's a preacher.
Amen.
And it's a preacher that ain't scared.
That's right.
Guns don't kill, people kill. Until there is a nationwide revival to change the heart of man,
all right,
people always will get shot.
Right. That's right.
Amen. It's not the gun, it's the one behind the gun. If you change the heart of the killer,
come on.
You make them not a killer. If you find yourself in an abusive relationship, we hope that you're already afraid. But come to the church, make it known, and we will give you some assistance.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop suffering in silence. Abuse is both male and female. Those are the victims.
Amen.
We said, I forget my statistics, but I believe it was 4 in 7. 4 in 7 women are abused. And 1 in 4 men are abused in the church. Don't think that's the problem. It's not church-wide. It is church-wide. You've got to hang on to the priest.